Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, this is going to be good, right, guys?
This may not be good.
All right. Here we go. This is what I came up with
recording
for
it?
The intro. Yeah, I'm recording. Here we go.
Oh, no. Wait.
What?
You're going to surprise us.
Yeah, I'm going to surprise you. That's what I was doing by saying, hey, here's the intro.
Are you rolling?
Check. Yes, I'm rolling.
Check. Oh, I didn't know this was on tape right
here
now.
Here we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
This is you as an All-American and a big opportunity for you in Hollywood. You must have had to beat off a lot of American men to get this part. Why does that make you giggle? Did you not have to beat them off?
Can you say, nailed it?
That is not cool.
It's not?
No.
And now, the two people who you know and who you trust and whose on-screen chemistry can usually best be described as two people.
Our feature presentation.
Right? Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 18th of July.
So, another microphone going down at K-Rock now?
Oh, sure.
It's a little wonky. It's hanging on by a thread. I thought maybe if you just twisted it, like in a circle, it would tighten itself.
No.
Go on.
No. What? How dare you?
No, you know what happens is if you touch it or move it or talk into it, it falls apart.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be gentle. Chip said just try not to touch it until 7 when Rick gets here.
Okay.
So.
All right.
It's one of those don't talk into the mics. Right?
Exactly, yeah.
I see.
You've heard of them.
It wasn't that long ago, Kevin, that your mic fell apart right at the beginning
completely.
Of the show.
Too.
Well, Kevin didn't know his strength.
Right?
Yeah.
Not his fault.
It was
I went
crazy.
Full Hulk.
Yeah, you did.
Well, it is Tuesday morning. It is the 18th. By the way, have you guys been seeing the Andrew Siciliano photos he's been posting from Iceland?
Yes, he's in caves.
Yeah.
He's just hanging out, being lowered into volcanoes. What's happening?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Well, yeah, and you know, he's a, this is our friend from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone. He is a, a crazy mountain climber, too. He's climbed some of the biggest mountains in the world. And he, man, there's a guy who knows how to enjoy his time off.
Yeah.
He goes places and he does things.
Right, just the opposite of you.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
He posted being lowered into a volcano and I wrote back, I get it. I just had fish and chips. I know how to vacation.
Sort of the same thing.
Yeah, similar.
But I did when I saw those Iceland photos last night. It made me hanker to get on back there. I'll tell you, I love that. Love that country so much. It's so beautiful.
I don't think I've ever used the word hanker in my life.
Mm-mm. Oh, you should try. It's very useful.
I'll try.
Sometimes it's the only word that works.
Yesterday, somebody called me on Twitter a ninny.
A ninny?
Yeah.
Whoa,
I was like,
wow.
How about that? How long has it been since if you ever have heard the word ninny?
It's awesome strong that my language. Nana's on there.
Well, I have two different stories. We'll get in-depth into one here before we get going on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Two different stories that both came out. I saw them this morning, so I assume they posted sometime in the overnight, that both involve situations where police tased suspects and they caught on fire.
Oh.
That, what?
Yes. One of them, Arlington, Texas, is where it happened. A man is suicidal and has doused himself with gasoline and has a lighter in one hand.
I mean, and honestly, that guy's got it coming.
It is, well.
I mean, come on.
Look.
He's dousing himself in gasoline and has a lighter?
Let's hear him out.
What do you think's going to happen?
Well, that's the police were trying to avoid him setting fire to himself.
Right.
and he was being erratic and crazy and looked like he was going to set himself on fire. So they tased him, and he caught on fire.
I feel like tasing is the wrong move because you're sending electrodes at gasoline.
And the police officer was aware of that. It's not like he's a ninny. And he was hankering to help the man.
Sure.
But he knew the risk.
Right.
But he said, look, this guy is moving the lighter toward his body. He is going to set himself on fire. Now, what I do may also set him on fire, but he's going to be set on fire if I don't do anything.
Do you think they train them for that? All right, for the taser. If the guy covers himself in gasoline and has a lighter, I can't imagine that.
I can't either.
He must have just been using common sense and thinking, well, it might be bad, but what he's doing will be bad.
Now, the man did survive, and hopefully, you know, with some burns, but they got the fire out pretty quickly, and hopefully it won't be a terrible recovery, and that he'll, you know, look back on it, as many suicidal people do, and go, wow, I dodged a, no pun intended, I dodged a bullet there, and I'm, you know, I'm going to get help, and I'm going to get better. So hopefully that man, it works out well for him. The other story is crazier. It comes from Manitowoc, Wisconsin. A 32-year-old man this past Sunday evening was standing out in the street without any clothes on. His name is Travis Tingler. So the police show up. He's shouting toward a home at the intersection that he had a knife and that he was going to gut the people inside.
Ooh.
He's naked, by the way. So the police show up, and the policeman says to him, you can't be out in the middle of the street with no clothes on. I asked him about his condition. I noticed he had a dazed appearance, a blank stare, and he was sweating profusely. So I think we all know what's going on here, right?
Sure.
The officer suspected Tingler, who said that other people were messing with him and he was calling them out, was impaired by drugs. He told the officer he could be out on the street with no clothes on and that he didn't have a weapon. Now, this is a man who is naked and has a knife. Hmm. And he says, I can be out on the street with no clothes on and I don't have a weapon. So not everything is tracking with Mr. Tingler.
Okay.
So they handcuffed him. It's a long and detailed report of all the things. It sounds like this article was written right off of the police report. But somehow he managed to pick up a lighter off the ground during the struggle, and the police stun gunned him, and he also caught on fire. It was a combination of lighter fluid and electricity from the stun gun that caused his beard and chest hair to become alight.
Wow.
An officer tried to pat the fire on the body, but the man continued to fight even after the fire was put out and then punched an officer in the face.
He's handcuffed.
Yes. Yes.
Well, these officers aren't very nimble.
If he can punch them with his handcuffs,
saying.
That guy's magic.
Officers called an ambulance. Hospital staff said he tested positive for marijuana and had a blood alcohol level of 0.177. So he's been arrested for all kinds of charges. But two different people in a 24-hour period set on fire by tasers. Now, both of them did involve a lighter, so at least the takeaway here isn't that tasers are somehow
inherently dangerous. No, it's that we need to ban lighters.
Yeah, we do.
It does
sound
like.
Said that for years.
Right? Sounds like that's the problem. So anyway, don't do any of these things that I have described here this morning, kids, when you're planning your day today, okay?
That isn't good for you.
Right?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That just seems like a lot of work, though.
We have Sarah Chalk and Chris Parnell in studio talking about Rick and Morty coming back for the third season.
They are both very talented actors.
Yep.
Yeah.
They are very funny. We have Comic-Con passes today. Mm-hmm. And all week, we've got five pair for you to give away for you today. We have the Bachelorette Report. Pretty strong last night.
Yeah, I saw the clip you posted.
Pretty strong, yeah.
Well, I saw everybody, Ralph and Petros and everybody, just falling in love with, was it Mr. Swami?
Oh, he was the best.
Just falling in love with him. Like, where's his spinoff, right?
Oh, man, he was the best.
I can't wait. This was go home to the Final Four's houses and meet their families and stuff?
Right. So the Bachelorette met this guy's dad, who has completely changed. And
he's a Swami now.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Huh. And what's involved in being a Swami? Is that an official position? Like, you're a religious leader?
I'm going to say no based on watching the show.
Okay.
Do you remember on... Never mind.
What? No, go ahead.
On What's Happening when reruns...
No, I don't remember on What's Happening.
He wanted to be a Swami, and then he went to all these religious meetings, and they all worshipped a head of lettuce. Do you guys remember that one?
I mean, it sounds... That would be in keeping with what I saw last night with this guy.
All right. Jack Burdett, if you're listening, you know that
So Ralph will tell you about that coming up in the Bachelorette Report. It's awesome. We're going to talk to the BuzzFeed writer who broke the R. Kelly cult article. Donald Trump's imaginary friend, Jim.
He's my favorite thing. Now, Kevin, you didn't hear about him on vacation, right?
I did not, no.
I'm obsessed with Jim. I am obsessed with him.
And if you missed Bean's podcast, yesterday we played some highlights.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that we
And we've
need
got some of those coming up for you just after 6.
I don't think we need to get back
and
into that.
I think you'll love it.
How dare you?
We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Kevin and Bean.
You guys suck. Both you guys suck.
LA and OC's alternative rock, K-Rock.
Comic-Con passes on the show today. We got K-Rock Guys Night Out at the Bicycle tickets to give away today. We got Atomic Blonde movie tickets, OC Fair tickets, California Neighbor Passes, Universal Studios Hollywood. This is crazy.
Tickets, tickets, tickets.
We're stacking them deep and giving them away cheap, aren't we?
So yeah, something to win.
Giving them away cheap.
Pretty much every hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's the voice of our friend Ralph Barrowman. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
If Seth Rogen tells you don't do edibles, maybe you should not do edibles.
Uh-oh. Well, that's his area of expertise, for
sure.
You have
to trust certain people.
If he'd get advice from anyone about pot, he'd be the go-to guy, right?
Sure.
Marijuana, of course, you know, being legalized everywhere. They're running out in Nevada. They're running out.
Apparently demand far exceeded what they expected. Same thing happened in Washington when the pot went legal.
That's surprising to me, because wouldn't you think everybody that could grow it would?
That's the problem. There's a limited distributor system in Nevada.
Oh, I see.
Only people who provide alcohol can also provide pot. So it's not just a free-for-all.
You can't just open up a shop, Kevin. I mean, they limit the number of licenses that they get
right
out.
No, I'm talking about growing it.
You're saying that just people growing their own, yeah. That's a lot of work for most people.
No.
Back to you.
Seth says he's done a lot of drugs in his life, and most of his negative experiences, he said, were under the influence of weed edibles.
Hmm.
So don't do that. Just smoke, I guess, is what he said.
Where was he years ago for me?
Right?
Right.
And you killed that dude. Remember he killed that hobo?
You're
so high you killed a hobo?
Nope.
While we're talking about drugs, Charlie Sheen has reportedly found a woman that can tame his wild ways, according to friends and people around him. He's been on a strict vegan diet, wakes up early for yoga and swimming, all due to the influence of his girlfriend, Julia Stambler. Well, be surprised what a 26-year-old model can make a man in his 50s do.
Sure.
Yoga, swimming, whatever she says, I'm sure he's willing to.
Winning.
She is a model and actress. Used to be the nanny for his kids. That's always charming.
That's a tale as old as time, isn't it?
When dad hooks up with the nanny, that's always leaves a good taste in your mouth, doesn't it?
Boom.
That was Robin Williams, and it was Ben Affleck, and it's been a lot of men over the years.
Gavin Rossdale, right? Wasn't Gavin?
Yeah,
the
I think
nanny?
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you, this dance mom lady, Abby Lee Miller, since she's been going inside, TMZ's run a lot of exposés on what happens inside a woman's prison. Never really knew so much before until I started following this story. They gave a series of a list of things that she was getting as advice to how to survive on the inside, right. Who to cozy up with, and what the best jobs are. And now they've got the menu there. If you want to buy a little extra something, for some comfort items, they're available for a price at the Federal Corrections Center in beautiful Victorville, California. Here's some of the things that Abby Lee Miller will be able to pick up while she's on the inside. Hot and spicy pork rinds are only 80 cents.
Mm.
Sounds like a pretty good deal, prison.
That's cheaper than on the outside.
Right?
I thought they would mark that stuff up.
Right?
I'm going in.
But you only get two of them.
So
two pork rinds?
It's not very filling.
Cookies and cream ice cream, Kevin.
All right.
A little over $2.
Worth it.
Right? You should be in prison. That's what I'm saying.
Well, for killing that hobo alone,
right.
You should be in prison.
You can get two sodas for $3.45.
So that sounds about right.
Is that about $1.75 each? I don't know what size they are. We got to look into how many ounces.
Right. True.
When it comes to toiletries, that gets a little more expensive. Skin lotion is $10.
Oh.
Because they go through a lot of it in the ladies' prison, right?
Yeah. Could you put some lotion?
God.
But an Afro pick's only 45 cents. So.
All right.
Right.
And again, Kevin, something you'll need.
Exactly.
Right.
So if you're going on the inside there, start saving up now is what I'm saying. You're going to want those items.
Look, TMZ puts up stuff that attracts eyeballs. Are there a lot of people who are interested in what Abby Lee Miller is doing in prison?
Yeah, I wondered that too. Why does anyone care about her? Why are they running all these articles?
Because she's a famous person who's going to be in prison. How often does that happen?
I mean,
sort of.
Yeah.
Dance Moms a huge hit.
Is it
was
really?
A massive TV show.
I mean, I know that it was somewhat popular. I didn't realize it was massive.
Well, then you were ill-informed?
Abby Lee Miller from Lifetime's Dance Moms. Here at the Teen Choice Awards, what is it like being a dance mom, being coined as a dance mom? Is that a good thing?
Dance mom. Do you watch the show?
What are you?
She was not the dance mom. She was the dance instructor. Well, yeah. You're surprised that Beer Mug and Kevin are both unclear on the facts?
I'm just excited to know what an Afro pick costs. So TMZ's doing great
45
work.
45 cents.
I know.
It's a deal.
It is a deal.
You should get one, Allie.
I'm thinking, though, could an Afro pick also be used as a shiv? So I feel like maybe they need to rethink that.
Oh, that's right? A dangerous item to make available to the prisoners.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Thank you. I'm not going to stab someone with a Cheeto. But an Afro pick.
You don't know what it's made out of.
That's a good point.
May not be the Afro pick you're thinking of.
I doubt it's metal, but even a plastic with the sharp edges.
It's paper.
It's
paper.
They
make it out of paper. It doesn't work very well, but you can't use it as a shiv.
It's rubber.
Oh.
It just bounces right off you. Today's celebrity birthday is Richard Branson, 67 years old today. Actress Margot Martindale. Boy, is she talented. 66 years old. Wendy Williams.
How you doing?
I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard recently that her show, the contract that she signed for her television show, is like a 10-year deal.
Yeah.
Like she's on till 2025 or something like that.
I knew somewhat popular.
53 years old today. Vin Diesel's 50. Darren Malakian from System of a Down. 42 years old today. MIA, also 42. Kristen Bell's 37. Oh, Kristen Bell. I made her salt and pepper shakers. Priyanka Chopra, 35 years old today. And actor Chase Crawford is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Kevin and Bean Show, mornings on K-Rock.
You represent the absolute worst.
LA and OC's alternative rock, KROQ.
Right now it's time for...
This is the great news theme.
Great news!
That's what we're going with? That's the Omar's theme song we're going with?
I feel like it fits. Great news was an idea that
Bean, I'm sorry.
Yes. Give me some time. Slow down and say it again.
Great news!
We don't have time for this nonsense today.
Give me a break and then do it.
Great news is a concept we came up with a few weeks ago because there's enough bad news on the radio. Every once in a while, it's kind of nice to go around the room and go, hey, what are you so happy or excited about? And Miss Allie McKay, we start with you today.
All right. Last weekend, the big D23 Expo. A lot of great stuff came out of it. Oh, no. Kevin's giving me a look like that's mine, too. No. Well, a lot of announcements. Listen, it might be something different.
Time-wise, we're fine. So you and I will just double team this one.
You guys can tag team. I prefer tag team.
I don't think we have any double teaming going on.
That was great news.
That was mine, too, because it just seems fantastic, right?
Well, there were a lot of announcements. Maybe it's not the same one.
Okay, go ahead.
Unless yours is about how you can live your own Westworld fantasy. No?
That's not.
Wait, so this is robots?
Ish.
Go on.
What they're doing, Walt Disney Parks is going to do something that combines a luxury resort with immersion into an authentic environment. And you're saying, well, what does that mean? You're going to check into a hotel. You're going to be given a storyline, and then all of your adventures in the hotel have to do with that storyline. You're totally immersed into the Star Wars world, and it's going to be designed to look like a massive starship. There's going to be outer space from every window, and this man says, guests won't wear flip-flops and shorts. You're going to wear Star Wars costumes. They wouldn't deal with hotel employees. They'd interact with Star Wars creatures and droids, and over the course of their stay, that story would unfold through a series of story moments and interactions, letting them fall completely into this amazing fictional world. So you become a character in Star Wars during your stay.
That's pretty cool.
That's phenomenal.
I feel like.
And mine was the same because 14 acres, both in Orlando and here, for Star Wars
Galaxy's Edge.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you walk around, it's the same thing. There's characters. You're playing a game. When you do a ride, you get a score.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome.
Unbelievable. I can't wait.
It's going to be popular, you guys.
You think?
I think people like Star Wars. I hear you can fly the Millennium Falcon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
All right. That was mine, too.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
And that's great news.
That is great news. That's a. Where does that open, Allie?
I feel like we should probably talk about these before we do them.
2019.
Yeah.
Oh, so we got to wait.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I've got one I'll do real quick. Allie, you were out of the country, so you missed this. Kevin and I, and Kevin will co-sign this one for me because we both watched this show, and it is on HBO. It's a four-part documentary on the careers of Dr. Dre and his best friend, Jimmy Iovine. It's on HBO. It's called The Defiant Ones. And I'm telling you what, K-Rock listeners, especially if you grew up and you love the music of the 90s, man, is this a show for you. It goes back a little further than that because Jimmy Iovine, of course, started back in the 70s with Bruce Springsteen and Patti Smith. But everybody is in this thing. Bono is in this thing. Kendrick Lamar and Nas and Stevie Nicks and Tom Petty and all these people talking about these amazing dual careers that these two guys had, culminating in the Beats headphones and the Apple Music deals. I mean, they're billionaires with the work they've done in the music industry. But Dr. Dre, Kevin, am I wrong about this? He's a guy you don't see interviewed all that often.
No, he's very private.
Mm-hmm. Very private. Yeah. And he's so candid in this about so many things. We've heard stories over the years about things that have happened in his personal life that he's not addressed before this show before. But hearing him talk about the music, and I brought in one clip for this. Dr. Dre has just left Death Row Records, and he's having a little bit of a problem getting his record label Aftermath off the ground. He's had a couple of flops, and he's looking around trying to find some new artists, all right? Somebody he can produce and work with, and he goes to his friend Jimmy Iovine.
Back in those days, I didn't have an artist to work with. I would go to Jimmy's house and have listening sessions. He was trying to help me figure out where I was going to go with my music, and he would take me down to his garage. There was cassette tapes everywhere. And I remember him picking up this cassette tape. He pops this in. And I was like, what the f***? And who the f*** is that?
Now, the name on that cassette tape was Slim Shady.
Yeah.
And Dr. Dre hears this white kid from Michigan and says, I got to find this guy. So he tracks him down, calls him up, and brings him over to the house to see if maybe there's a match there. Something they can do something together. So he takes Eminem downstairs into the basement.
And I had a studio in my house at the time, and I went and put some samples together, did a couple of things in the drum machine, and I invited him over.
Dre, you do a lot of recording here?
Yeah, most of the recording is done here. Nothing more comfortable than home. I was like, man, listen, I put this sample together. Tell me if you like it.
You want to hear one of my joints, man?
Yeah. And I hit the drum machine, and maybe 2 or 3 seconds went by, and he just went, hi, my name is... My name is, like, yo, stop. Top. That's what happened our first day and the first few minutes of us being in the studio.
And wow. The rest is history. And I'm telling you, there's so much footage. I mean, Allie, you are a fly on the wall watching Boys in the Hood get recorded.
That's amazing.
In the studio.
You see Dre in there, like, remixing stuff and changing stuff that you never get to see. It's fascinating.
It's amazing. I love the studio stuff so much because you never get to see that aspect of the music actually being made. And by the way, what was the song? It was California Love, Kevin. Remember California Love? Tupac comes in and writes it in the booth.
Yep.
Wow.
Doesn't bring any lyrics in. Just writes it while he's standing there and then records it. And the whole thing takes like 20 minutes. It's just, it'll blow your mind. Again, it's called The Defiant Ones. It's on HBO. And this has been Great News.
Got some stuff you just gotta try. What is it?
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. LA and OC's alternative rock. K-R-O-Q.
Next half hour.
Oh, what? It's still on. I'm sorry. I don't have any control. I was literally on the whole time.
That's weird. Next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to the journalist Jim Rogotis, who broke a story yesterday that is so disturbing
and possibly nothing illegal is going on in it. It involves R. Kelly and sex slaves living in his house. That's a story you're definitely not going to want to miss. I mean, it was a bombshell when it came out yesterday. Some great reporting going on there. So we'll talk to Jim. That's coming up on camera.
So over the vacation, I played in the World Series of Poker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an experience. And I didn't realize really until this trip. I've done it before, but this trip, I realized it really is a World Series. We're not just calling it that like we do everything else in the United States. Super Bowl and World, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
Yeah.
People come from all over the world. I was sitting at a table. 9 people were there. I was the only one from America, from the United States.
Really?
The only one. There's a Polish guy there, didn't speak English, or guys, people from South America. It was insane. So you walk in, and there's 2,200 people in my tournament.
Wow.
2,200. It's a conference room. It's not a conference room. It's like the convention center.
Right.
Thousands of tables. And you look around, and you go, what are my chances?
Yeah.
And in poker, for the World Series, you play all day. It's like 11 a.m. to midnight or something like that. All day with some breaks.
Oh, my.
So you need to really pay close attention the whole time.
Oh, dear.
Now, is that my strength?
No.
That's not my strength at all, right?
Mm-hmm. You missed out on that merit badge.
Right. So I figured this is the key to me doing well, is that I'm going to have to figure out a way to concentrate
right.
and make sure I'm paying attention to every single hand so I can do well in this World Series of Poker.
What drug did you take
you
to make
Adderall,
that happen?
You took Adderall, didn't you?
I didn't. I wish I had some. I would have. I was Red Bulled up.
Oh, dear.
Mountain Dewed up.
Okay.
Right. Put some meth in my beehole. I tried everything to make sure that I paid attention. I would pay attention, then there'd be a little 20-minute break,
mm-hmm.
and I was tired, and then I was like, okay, get back in there and do it. You can do it.
Yeah.
And I kept telling myself, why not you? Why couldn't you win?
Why not me?
I was talking to myself.
Yes.
Why couldn't I be the one that wins?
Sure.
Because
did you have a little blanket to go into the quarter if you got really tired, though?
I didn't. No,
okay.
No.
You're sticking to it.
You have to pay attention. So I get through the entire first day, and there's, I don't know, 450 people left out of 2,200.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? So I had a great day, and I was really exhausted because paying attention for a minute for
it's
me,
it's
that's like an hour for mm-hmm. everyone else. So day 2 starts, and I'm sitting down at a table with a woman who has been up all night.
Uh-oh.
Drinking.
Oh,
and she is smashed. And I can't believe she's got stacks and stacks of chips. And I'm like, I worked so hard yesterday to pay attention and to get every chip I have. She just had all stacks and stacks of chips. I don't know what's happening, but she was drinking the whole first day,
uh-huh.
stayed up all night. And then she showed up for day 2.
Well, you've got to be feeling good about this. Like,
I was feeling great.
Yeah, she's a mess.
Right, and she's a mess, meaning, and she has a lot of chips, so I can take them all.
Exactly.
This is going to be great.
Yeah.
So I get pocket aces, the best hand you can have.
Okay.
And she has long fingernails, and she's drunk, so she just, like, grabs a handful of chips and just throws them out there. She doesn't even know how much they are. There's $100 chips, there's $1,000 chips, there's $5,000 chips. She literally just grabs an entire handful and throws them out there.
Who is this lady?
I don't know. I don't know, but I have aces. And so she throws out all those chips, mm-hmm. so I call.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who play poker, the flop comes ace, 4-9. I have aces. Now I have 3 aces.
Okay.
She raises again with a whole nother just handful of chips. Just, I throw these out there. I don't care. It's totally smashed. So I went all in. I'm
sure.
Like,
now you know what it's like for us to hang out with you, by the way.
Right.
So it's weird for you to be on the other side of this.
So I go, this is like the second hand of the day, and I'm all in, which means if I lose, I'm out. But I've got aces.
Yeah, you've got aces.
It's the
feeling good.
Hand.
Yeah.
She turns over her cards, and she has a 2-5 off suit. Now,
and that means what?
That means fold that immediately.
Yeah, that's about as bad a hand as you can have.
You do not bet that no matter what.
So she was bluffing.
Yes.
Okay.
So I go all in, and she calls, so I see her card. So it comes ace, 4-9, and then jack, and that doesn't help anybody, mm-hmm. and then 3. And I'm like, I have 3 aces. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And then the dealer pushes both of our chips. And I probably have $50,000 in chips. She probably has about the same amount. She pushes them all to the woman. What? And I said, what are you doing? And it had come out ace, and she had 2-5, 2, then a 3, and a 4, and a 5. She had a straight, and she beat my aces.
Oh, and you were done.
Yes.
Oh.
What are...
Second, I'll tell you, Bean, because I looked it up.
90, yes, tell me.
92% in my favor.
No
92%.
Way.
I figured that out when I went out and just sat down on the sidewalk and cried.
So oh, my God.
I worked so hard. She had no idea. I mean, I think she understood poker, but she was just throwing chips. She didn't care. She wasn't paying attention at all.
She had two cards, and she drew three to make it a straight.
Yes.
That's astonishing.
Which beats my three aces, and I just stand up. Second, it was the second hand. Oh. It was still, it starts at 11 a.m. It was still like 11:04.
Oh,
and I just do the walk of shame out of the whole conference room. I just walk
Dude,
out. And I can't believe
you got hosed.
I asked the pit boss later. I came in like 399 or 400.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, except for they paid a 250.
Okay.
If you
so I made so just for a recap.
Yeah.
All day one day,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
working really hard,
doing great.
A couple of minutes a second day.
Yeah.
Zero money.
Could you have cashed out instead of playing the second day if you wanted to? Are you allowed to do that?
No, it's a tournament. So
okay.
It's a tournament, so you have to enter, you give them your money, and then if you're out, you just have to leave.
How about that?
So
I wonder how she did.
I don't want to know. Imagine. This is like the people who are in a football pool and they pick a team by the color of their uniforms
or a movie they watch.
So she killed my dream.
Unless she's just, I mean, maybe that's her act, you know?
Oh,
she's pretending to be drunk.
She was maybe.
No.
She wants people to underestimate her, so she pretends like she's not
brilliant.
Paying attention. She didn't. But there's no way you can, as a good player, there's no way you could ever expect. She couldn't have played that hand to have it work out that way.
No, of course.
Not possible.
That goes against every rule, everything you've ever learned.
Yeah.
And I know drinking.
Yeah.
She was drinking.
Drunk. She was drinking. Okay.
So she killed me. I didn't. I walked away and then I.
Not great news.
Right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's a suck fest.
LA and OC's alternative rock. KROQ.
Radio.com.
Radio.com.
We're on vacation. We missed 8 shows, but we are back now. And I am so excited because I have become obsessed, Kevin, with Donald Trump's imaginary friend, Jim. I love him so much. Are you familiar with the story at all? Do you know what happened?
Just a little, but fill me in.
The short version is the terrorists are winning in Donald Trump's mind.
Right.
And certainly there have been some bad things that have happened in cities around the world. But he, for whatever reason, is convinced that Paris is over. Like, no one goes to Paris anymore. Why? Because his friend Jim, who used to vacation with his wife and kids all the time in Paris, won't go there anymore. Because Paris isn't Paris anymore.
So who's Jim?
That's the question, is who's Jim?
What do you mean? They haven't found the guy?
They don't know anyone named Jim that the president knows or that the president talks to.
Did he make up Jim?
The theory has been brought out that it's possible that there isn't a Jim. That this is just a way, this is the equivalent of, well, people say.
Right, of course.
Yeah, you could attribute anything to your friend Jim. So is there a Jim or not? Now, no one has asked the president directly that I am aware of, but we are going to. Give me the big music because, ladies and gentlemen, number 45, President Donald J. Trump, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a while, Mr. President. We always appreciate you coming on. How are you, sir?
I am amazing. You can just ask my friend Jim. He told me the other day. Very substantial guy, by the way, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing guy.
He is. Uh-huh. Okay.
And he said to me, Donald Trump, you're doing an incredible, incredible job as president. Really, maybe the best. Maybe the best president ever. And from a guy like Jim, that really means something, you know?
Yeah, he's substantial.
Now, how accomplished is Jim? I mean, can you give us some hints to his identity?
All the best schools, okay? Uh-huh. He goes to all the good schools.
Which ones?
He went to...
There are a lot of good schools.
The university...
Of President Trump, you there?
Hold on.
Okay.
Jim, where'd you go to school?
He's with
Jim's
you.
There.
University of Rhode Island.
Were I? Okay.
Where all the best people
go?
URI. Okay.
Uh-huh. And it went to Wharton Business School. Okay.
Oh, all right. That's a good school.
He went to Harvard. He went to Yale. Oh. He went to Princeton.
I don't think it's he went possible to
a lot of schools.
It's not, hold on. Tell me how it's not possible to go to more than one school.
Well, no, but you're listing like five or six schools.
A lot of people go to a lot of schools, and Jim's one of those okay. guys.
But right. I feel like you're not
so
doing
many degrees from so many schools.
Oh, he got degrees from all of it. It's not like he flunked out and then went to a different school to try to resume his education.
I won't let you talk about Jim that way, okay? He's not a guy who flunks out of things. He's a winner, and he's so tired of winning, and he's the best, and I love Jim.
Can we talk to Jim?
Hold on a second. Jim, they want to talk to you. No? Okay. He's really busy right now.
You haven't even given him a chance to answer.
He did.
What?
He speaks very quickly. It's like I don't even need, we are connected in such a way that I don't even need to hear him talk.
Where did you meet Jim?
Jim and I go way back.
Tell us.
At the times before now.
Right. And what was the beginning, the very first time you met Jim?
It was the first time we met.
Right.
I remember it.
And where and when?
At the place where we met.
Right. Right?
It was probably a golf course.
Uh-huh. That's probably okay.
Right. Okay. So anyway, the Democrats are the worst, right? We can all agree on that.
What does Jim think? Does he agree?
Jim thinks the Democrats are ruining this country. They have ruined this chance to repeal and replace Obamacare, which needs to happen. It's collapsing. The whole system's collapsing. And a few Democrats are holding up the whole process.
That's Republicans.
Really,
that's
really
not what happened at all.
I hate democracy.
Okay, I don't know if you say that, but
Jim does too.
Oh, he does.
I love democracy. Jim's the one.
Listen, hates it.
He's trying to tell me that I should just take over the country. And
run it by Jim.
I would never do that, but Jim seems to think it's a good idea.
Run it by him one more time. Can we talk to Jim?
Jim. They want to talk now? Okay. You know, I'm sorry. He's really busy. He's on a important phone call, and he's typing also.
All right. Well, that's very believable. Mr. Trump, since we have you, do you mind if we ask you one other thing that was in the news while we were on vacation? It does not involve politics, but you did have a trip to France. Even though Paris is no longer Paris, you did go to France and meet with the
president. Jim won't go to Paris anymore.
That's right. What I understand.
Jim used to go to Paris all the time. And now you can't go to Paris anymore. It's not safe. And we can't let that happen to our country, okay? We can't let what happened to Paris happen here. Jim, he's ready to move. He's ready to leave America because...
Oh, we don't want Jim to leave.
No, we can't have Jim leave. It's important that he stays here.
So you went to France and you met with the president there, Macron, and there were some people who have suggested that maybe you inappropriately commented about the looks and the physical attributes of the first lady in France, talking about how she was in such good shape and she's so beautiful.
She's in great shape. She's in such good shape.
Mm-hmm. And people have wondered if maybe that was an inappropriate comment for you to be discussing her body as you had just met her. What do you think about that? Is that just foolish backlash where you're just trying to compliment a lady and you meant no harm?
Jim says that people are taking this thing way out of proportion.
Does he? Yes. Okay.
Look, I'm all about physical fitness, okay?
Right.
That's what I do.
Sure.
That's who I am.
You're a specimen.
I am always working out. I'm always taking care of my body. And so it's something we had in common. Uh-huh. I appreciated the healthy, good, in-shape body she had.
Does Jim like France's first lady? Does he think she's hot?
Jim also pointed out that she's in really, really good shape. Okay. Because, look, I couldn't believe it because she's like the oldest woman in the world. She's ancient. She's an old woman.
That's just not the case at all.
What are you talking about? How old is she?
She's 24 years older than President Macron.
Oh, that's right. I did hear about that. Yeah. Okay. So but that doesn't make her the oldest person.
That helps a bit a lot. Thank you. I'm glad somebody
did. I'd forgotten that there was quite an age difference.
Pretty big deal. Pretty big deal that his wife is 24 years older than he is.
Yeah, that was unusual when that was
revealed.
Big
in the election in France. And all the news stories covered it. Big, big difference in age.
For
a guy like Donald Trump, that's a big deal because his women are so much younger. I got to go. Jim needs me. I got to go. I got to run. I'll be right there, Jim.
Okay. Thank you.
Kevin and Bean.
Please enjoy our stupid show.
K-Rock.
I'm so excited that our next guest is on the phone. He's not the Donald Trump's imaginary Jim. This is a real Jim. De Regattas is a music writer and journalist who for years, this isn't the first time Mr. De Regattas has thought about R. Kelly, for years has been covering this singer and his complex and disturbing relationship with young women. And this is a story that broke yesterday on BuzzFeed is all anybody's talking about right now. And Jim, we're delighted you made some time to join us on the show today. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Thank you.
How long do you go back covering the R. Kelly case?
At the Chicago Sun-Times with Abden Palish, I wrote the first investigative story in 2000. And a year later, the videotape for which he was indicted for making child pornography, 26 minutes and 39 seconds, came to my mailbox. Go to your mailbox. Unmarked, unmarked envelope. He was eventually indicted. He was tried and acquitted by a jury of his peers, but what always gets left out in discussions and in other media reports is that there have been numerous, more than a dozen civil lawsuits filed by underage women against Kelly for sexual relationships that in some cases ended in the women attempting suicide. And there was, of course, the Aaliyah incident. And today, Kelly is housing six or seven young women in what the parents and one of the women who broke away from it say is a cult, and that these women are brainwashed. They are told when to eat, when to sleep, how to dress, to face the wall whenever a male friend of Kelly's comes in, to knock before entering any other room. They engage in sexual encounters that he directs and records with him, and they take he takes their cell phones and issues them new cell phones that are only to be used by him, for him, or in contacting people when he allows it.
So this is not a case of kidnapping.
The parents use the words brainwashed and cult.
Right.
And one of the women who broke away from the relationship uses the word cult and brainwashed. He's with these women half the time in Atlanta, half the time in Chicago. And police report that conducted a well-being check said they were being held against their will. But actually, when they came to the door, and one of the women has now come public today, they say they want to be where they are and that they're perfectly fine.
I was asking about kidnapping because of is anything he's doing against the law?
It's unclear, and the FBI has spent hours interviewing the Georgia parents, but of course they will neither confirm nor deny an ongoing investigation.
What's the youngest woman that's
18. He began his relationship with her when she was 17, which is under the age of consent in Florida, where she's from.
And, Jim, it must be so frustrating. I mean, obviously you're very passionate about this. You've covered this story about Mr. Kelly for so long. It must be frustrating to see how incredibly popular he still is. He's
you know,
on arena tours.
Seeing him on The Tonight Show the day before the night before Christmas, getting a big bear hug from Jimmy Fallon and singing Christmas songs.
Well, that's Jimmy Fallon doesn't make the best.
Seeing him recording with Lady Gaga or Beyonce, you know, emblems of female empowerment. Seeing him continue to headline shows across the country that are booked by Live Nation, the largest concert promoter in the world. Seeing him atop the roster of RCA Records and seeing him endorsing Alexander Wang fashion. You know, he has remained very much a vibrant artist in the media spotlight. And I think that the music industry and entertainment journalism has fallen down on its job of talking about the dozens of young black women he's hurt.
And you brought up in the article these parents that were saying, oh no, I'm a stage mom. I'll keep an eye on my daughter when she's going backstage to meet R. Kelly. What is wrong with these parents even letting their children near this pedophile?
People are saying that, but also let's remember the only thing that ever gets in print about the charges against him, if anything, is that he was tried and acquitted. And he was. He was acquitted by a jury of his peers in 2008 after 26 minutes and 39 seconds of video that was shown in court a dozen times.
Yeah.
But that case took 6.5 years to go to trial, and 90% of what happened in closed chambers where the records remained sealed.
Oh,
so
wow.
No other evidence of all the civil lawsuits and the settlements and the Aaliyah marriage. He married Aaliyah under a falsified marriage certificate from Cook County, Illinois, saying she was 18 when she was 15, and he wrote her debut number, album. Do you remember what the album title he gave it was?
Age Ain't Nothing But a Number?
Yeah, I mean, it's right there in full view of the world, isn't it?
We have such a blind spot about celebrities that we like. I mean, I guess we think, you know, there can be lots of smoke, but unless there's a conviction on somebody's record, we won't ascribe fire to it. I mean, I'm thinking about 50
women brave enough to put their names and faces on the cover of New York Magazine and say, I was hurt by Bill Cosby. Yes, we're reluctant to believe the worst of people whose art we love and admire.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's heartbreaking, and I think as a society, that's a big question. But the question today is, are those women, 18 and 21, from Florida and Georgia, being held against their will? And if they're not, why don't they come out and go home and sit down with their parents and a counselor and talk this through?
We're talking to journalist Jim DeRogatis on the Kevin and Bean Show about his BuzzFeed article about R. Kelly and the women that he, well, has a strange relationship with, to say the least. You know, there was a piece, there's been so much written about your article, Jim, since it came out. And there was a piece on Slate this morning that talked about how, because of cases like the Cosby, it seems like women are more likely to come forward than they used to in the past about things and speak more freely about it and be believed more often. But it sounds like that there's so many women in your story that you're talking about and what you've told us here this morning that they can't legally say anything. It's even if they wanted to come forward and say, yeah, he did bad things to me, they kind of can't because they got paid off, right?
There are three women on the record, a former personal assistant and two young women who had sexual relationships with Kelly that are using their names and are giving their faces in interviews, and they are talking about physical and mental abuse by Kelly. And I think those women are really brave, especially given the context in our culture of rape culture.
Right.
Let us remember that 1 out of 10 women who are sexually assaulted, only 1 out of 10 ever see any justice in court. That means 90% of sexual assaults in this country, according to the FBI, not exactly a left-wing radical statistic, 90% never even result in an arrest, much less a trial.
Wow. Well, it's an important story that you're doing. It's important work you've been doing for, you know, for 20 years on this R. Kelly case. And I guess all we hope is that justice is served at some point and that eventually there's some sort of downfall, right? Some sort of payback for what he's done.
Well, you know, I'm not going to comment beyond what we printed, but I'll tell you, I agree with the parents. I hope that they get their daughters back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agree. Jim, thank you so much for coming on BuzzFeed.com. By the way, on Twitter, you can follow our guest at Jim DeRogatis. We really enjoyed talking to you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Cool. Sounds dope.
Yeah, fresh.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
Guys, it's time for the Bachelorette Report. Hit it, Steve.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he loves the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
With Petra's Papa Dacus always watching it.
Yeah.
Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on the Bachelorette.
Ow!
Ralph, your co-host for the segment, our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570 LA Sports, joins us on the phone right now. How are you, P?
Hello, good morning to everybody. Hello, hello.
Hometowns, P, hometowns.
Always very awkward, always very meaningful, the true family nature of the Bachelorette revealed.
It's the make or break week, always in my opinion. This is where either relationships are forged or broken asunder.
Well, yeah, if your dad's a crazy purple swami.
All right, let's wait. Let's wait to get to the Kundalini yogi. Let's wait. We have to do some due diligence, and we do have to talk about Eric.
No.
We have to talk about Eric first. Eric, of course, is the last remaining African-American contestant on The Bachelorette.
Why'd they try to make it seem like he lived in Mogadishu and his parents live in some nice high-rise?
Well, his aunt does. We know that much. We don't know where his parents live. But we do know Eric knows how to sell his hometown of Baltimore.
Baltimore is known for one of the, you know, top 10, I would say, toughest cities in America. A lot of violence, a lot of crime, a lot of drug dealing, a lot of murders.
Yeah.
Wow.
It does sound like fun.
Come to Baltimore. Brought to you by the Tourism Council of Baltimore.
Just replace any of those with, like, you know, crab cakes, fun, sports, high fives, Cal Ripken. And you got a
Camden
nice...
Camden Yards, anything.
You got a nice Chamber of Commerce video there.
Eric's family naturally loved Rachel. They couldn't be happier, and they seemed like a nice bunch. Then we moved to Miami, where we found Brian, smooth, swarthy Brian.
I did like the Domino Park. There, that seemed like a lot of fun.
And he was speaking his native tongue. He is Colombian. His family's from Colombia, and he's a chiropractor there in Miami, and he really seemed to love...
That's what they call that in Miami, a handsome Colombian guy that comes over to the Mills house. They call that guy a chiropractor.
He'll adjust the older ladies on South Beach for a price.
You ever see that movie with Patrick Dempsey where he delivers a pizza?
No.
Oh, come on. He's Hello. What's it called?
Pizza Man.
Yeah.
Is it really called Pizza Man?
Okay. Anyway, Brian's mother is the relationship his last serious is the reason his last serious relationship ended is because mother did not like the girlfriend, and so she drove a wedge between the girlfriend and her 37-year-old son, who apparently can't separate family from relationships. And I don't know, I think maybe mom warned Rachel a little sternly about the relationship.
If a woman can't once to take the husband from the family, she can do it. Because some women want the only for themselves.
No.
And of course, if he's happy, I'm happy. If not, I'll kill you.
Yeah, I will kill you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
If not, I'll kill you. The Colombian necktie was the threat that she was offering there in that relationship.
This got dark.
She's replacing Zoe Saldana in Colombiana Part 2.
Then on to Madison, Wisconsin, one of my favorite towns. Love Madison. And Peter, Gaptooth Peter was there.
He's got black friends.
He's got a Bennington ad full of friends, P.
That's true.
He brought them all in. They're all kinds of colors and mixes, and from light mocha to hot black coffee.
It was
all
a UN
friends.
Conference. Everybody was wearing a headset.
and he was so romantic. At the end of their day, Peter said, "I had a good day. I feel like you and I really fit well together." Yeah, it was something my proctologist once said to me. Then on to Dean's hometown.
Thank you.
And I'm not even sure where Dean took Rachel to. I know he lives in Venice, California here, but that was not Venice where they were. It was somewhere, I think, in the maybe in the Alps. I don't know.
Hinterlands.
Where. The hinterlands. There, I saw a Yeti at one point. And Dean had to break the news to Rachel that she was about to meet his dad.
The Swami.
Param Rup.
You're going to meet my father.
Mm-hmm.
He's a converted Kundalini yogi, like Sikh. So he like even wears a turban, has like a beard down his belly button. His name is Param Rup.
Say it again.
Param Rup.
What does he want me to call him?
Param Rup.
Param Rup.
Yeah, it means divinely beautiful, and it's a self-given name, so that speaks a little bit to his character.
It's a self-given name.
His real name is like Dave or something, but now he goes by Param Rup, which means divinely beautiful one, and he gave that name to himself. That's all you need to know about Param Rup.
Param Rup had a real agenda, and it did not go his way.
He's a bad dude. Param Rup is not a good advertisement for yoga and being a swami. They show up to the house, and Dean has seen his dad for the first time in 2 years, has never seen the squalor he lives in, and he's got a reasonable question as they're all about to sit down to dinner.
They're waiting for King Dean to show up.
Where's the table at? Why are we all on the floor?
Well, because we don't have a table.
Where's the table at? I think is a reasonable question to ask when you show up for dinner.
That from your dad. We don't have one, man.
We don't have one.
Hey, man, it's cool, King Dean.
Well, luckily, Param Rup is there to make everyone feel better and to cleanse them, and he does it by playing his favorite musical instrument.
I played the gong. It's kind of a neat thing. And the gong is an energetic cleaning. It's a wonderful sound. And so I'd like to share that with you. And I'd like everybody's head pointed that way to the gong. So this is quite different of an experience. But enjoy it. Just kind of let yourself go. And
the soothing sound of someone banging a gong next to your head.
He plays the gong.
That's his instrument.
That would be a lot weirder for me if I didn't spend the last 12 years with Vic the Brick and his gong.
Now, you have to remember, the reason this relationship is in shambles is because Dean's mother died of a horrible, horrible disease, cancer, at the age of 15. When he was 15 years old, he lost his mother. At that point, Dad was nowhere to be found. Pretty much abandoned his kid.
He was there financially.
Yeah.
The Rup was there financially.
But in every way that mattered, Param Rup disappeared. Dave started growing his beard and wrapped a towel around his head and checked out of the relationship.
Checked out of life.
And
he's straight crazy.
It just has left some real damage in Dean. And so they try to have a conversation to get into this, which apparently this conversation has needed to be had for a decade now. And it just does not go well.
I mean, don't forget, I've seen you since you've been, like, you know, that big. So, and just to see the leaps and bounds of progress, it's pretty cool. So, essentially, it's like, oh, I must be a pretty great dad because look at my son, you know?
No, it's not like that at all. It's like, how did he survive despite of this lunatic gong player?
It's sad.
It was troubling.
It was.
The whole thing is actually the whole thing is actually one of the most honest and saddest things that's ever happened.
They actually kicked out the Bachelorette. And
I was wondering what Rachel was doing with all this family drama unfolding around her.
Kicked her out.
She was not there. It was Dean at 101 with his awful, awful dad.
If I'm the Swami or the genie from Aladdin, though, and I haven't seen my son in 2 years and I got a lot of problems, and he brings in a bunch of cameras to have the conversation, I might parham Roop out myself.
It was no surprise the cameras were coming. He did throw the cameras off his property at one point.
Loved it.
But
near a bonfire.
I'm glad at least Dean got to call him on his BS.
But there's still like a lot of moments where like I personally felt abandoned.
If you really feel that way, and if you really think that was my purpose, then there's really no need to carry this conversation. I mean, really.
Sure.
Because in my teaching, we believe the other person is you. So whatever you think of me is really of what you think of yourself.
Oh, F you.
Oh, yeah, nice. F you indeed.
Parham Roop, hey, he got out of that.
Parham Roop really is a great commercial for Kundalini Yogi. He came at him with the I am rubber, you are glue defense. That's what he hit him with.
I'm using that next time you go in on me, Ralph.
Whatever you, I'm you, and whatever you think of me is what you really think of you.
It's your own insecurity.
Oh, I hate Parham Roop. Anyway,
yeah, he's the worst.
Roses were given out, and I can't blame her. Rachel cut Dean. So,
because of the Swami dad.
I mean, do you want to marry into that family?
No,
no thank you.
I do, but
could come back.
And I think Dean needs a lot of therapy, and he needs a lot of healing to get past this damage. I think he's a sweet guy, and he's got a lot going on for himself, but he's going to have to fix all that damage before he's going to marry anybody.
Eventually, he's going to complete the transition of surgeries into becoming a full shark. He's already got his eyes real far apart and the veneers in.
You know what? He is you. Whatever you don't like about him, P, is what you don't like about yourself. Right?
You're right. I'm trying to become a shark.
Exactly.
All right, so we're down to just three gentlemen vying for Rachel's hand, right?
Mm-hmm. Now they go and they meet Rachel's parents, and they're going to go back and meet her family.
That doesn't go well with the prideful Colombiano.
And then they're gonna carve him down to two. And then I think it's bare knuckle boxing. That's how they resolve the whole thing.
Like All right, away, like that movie Far and Away. Remember those boxing scenes?
Right, or Pizza Man.
I think
it's a real movie. It's called Lover Boy.
It's Lover Boy. Yeah.
I thought it was Pizza
Thank
Man.
Thank you, Allie.
Great stuff, you guys.
Week,
we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thanks, Pete.
Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on the Bachelorette.
K-Rock. LNOC's alternative rock. Rock.
We're a bunch of sorry sons of bitches.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-R-O-Q.
All right, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garvin.
I do want to let everyone know also that Great Cabins are still available for the David Hasselhoff fan cruise.
See?
I know it's hard to believe. I know it's hard to believe, but there are still cabins available for the official David Hasselhoff World Fan Cruise.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Well, you're going to be on there, Dave, on the boat, I assume.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I
mean, you're the guy on the boat. It's about you. It's for you.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something?
Dave.
Or can I just go down there?
Just go down there.
It's the David Hasselhoff World Fan Cruise. Just show up on the boat. They'll let you on.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
Well,
do you know?
I don't think it would make any sense to get a room at the Marriott when you have to be on a boat.
Major fan of K-Rock.
Thanks.
I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They're not going to be on the cruise.
They're not going to be on your cruise, Dave. But thanks for calling in.
How far is the festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert?
It's very far. It's on a boat in Italy, Spain, and France. That's where the boat is.
And when do the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
Yeah, the afternoon of November 4th. November 4th through the 9th this year, Italy, Spain, and France. That's where the David Hasselhoff World Fan Cruise will be happening.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
We do know that about you. Yes. Anyway, there's still cabins available.
Shocking,
right? You think we'd sell it instantly the minute they put it on sale. But there's added included value now. Taylor Ann and Haley Hasselhoff, his daughters, will also be on board.
Okay.
It's also a sexy audience.
Yeah, for the sexy audience. His fiancée, Haley, will also be on board as well. He has a young daughter named Haley and a fiancé named Haley who are roughly the same age, by the way.
Oh, that's confusing.
So it'll be a fun... Yeah,
sounds great.
I hope he doesn't do much to drink and get things right? mixed up in the stateroom.
Come on.
That might be a bad scene later on.
David Hasselhoff is a legend in Europe.
Yes, that's true. He is. So if you're part of the Hoff team, just want to let you know you can still get tickets. I think it starts at just 799 euros per person. I'm not quite sure how that translates. What's the euro going for?
About $1,000, I think.
The dollars,
I think,
higher value. Than
it's
the
worth it. It doesn't matter what it costs.
Whatever, exactly.
It's
whatever.
Worth it.
You spend
how are we not going to be not only on board but broadcasting?
Allie, they won't let us broadcast from Comic-Con. We can't get the money to go down there. They're going to let us take us to Italy, France, and Germany to go on a cruise.
This is a mess.
We could send mugs.
Send mugs on the David Hasselhoff cruise?
Yes, we could.
I think it's a great idea.
Lucky.
Hey, look, I'll go. If you'll say we're sending people, put me on the David Hasselhoff cruise. I will gladly go.
You'll get up and sing with them and everything.
We're going to perform and, hey, get in my car. We'll just start rocking out to all of his biggest hits. Talking about freedom.
I wonder what the guest profile is on board for the type of people who would go on the David Hasselhoff cruise. Is it mostly middle-aged women?
65-year-old German women.
Okay.
That's exactly who it is.
Well, it's a good thing you're getting out the word here in Los Angeles then.
Well, that was all just for humor's sake. That's me having a good time. Ed Sheeran has deleted his Twitter account.
Oh, yeah, tell me about that. Did people?
I think I just did.
No, but I'm. He has a huge social media presence with millions and millions of followers. Tell me, he didn't just do this because of his Game of Thrones appearance?
No, he's been talking about it for some time.
Okay,
we mentioned it while you guys were on vacation that Ed had announced he was leaving Twitter simply because it's simply too mean. He cannot read all the negativity every day.
Well, there's no question about that. It is
so
true.
Just before he deleted, I tweeted him and said, you're such a pussy. but the good news is for Ed Sheeran fans, of course, he was on Game of Thrones. We talked about that yesterday. But he's also going to be on The Simpsons this season.
All right.
He's going to be the voice of a character in a parody of La La Land called Ha Ha Land.
I like it.
And Ed will be the voice of a musician named Brendan who captivates Lisa, and they fall in love, and Nelson gets jealous, and it's all very exciting. The 29th season of The Simpsons, by the way, begins this fall on Fox.
Wow. That's one of those things where you've made it if you're on The Simpsons, I feel like. If they put you in their show.
Oh, yes, I agree. Yeah, they use the most iconic performers, certainly, as guests on that show.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question?
Ed Sheeran deleting his Twitter account?
We'd rather you didn't.
It is about that.
Oh, my Lord.
In your mind, and Allie, this question is for you, too, because I know you you have your share of haters that reach out to you on social media, and I certainly do.
Haters going to hate.
You should. How do you compartmentalize those? Like, do you get bummed out when people tweet at you or Instagram, write bad things on your Instagram? Does it bum you out, or are you able to just discount it as go, well, that's, you know, it doesn't matter, or that's not an opinion I care about? How do you process the negativity that comes in social media?
I'll click on their profile and look through their pictures and go, all right, that's why. I get it. You just need a hug, and I get it. Hurt people, Bean. And it's just that simple. And in the grand scheme of things, do these people matter?
My answer is just don't read it.
Oh, that's good.
That's my answer.
Same with email. Hurt people do hurt people. I agree with you, Allie, but that doesn't mean that they sometimes aren't right, though, or sometimes don't have valid opinions, and it's hard to turn that off sometimes.
Are you making you're confusing a valid opinion with hate. Those are two different things.
Okay.
If someone says, this didn't make sense, you were wrong about this, and then they say why, as opposed to, shut up, woman, no one with a vagina should talk. Those are two very different things.
That's the one Bean gets the most.
Yeah. They hate his vagina talking.
How about you, Ralph? How do you process the haters?
I really just don't care.
You don't care?
No, it doesn't.
Once in a while, you'll take them on.
But I do it for my own, like, pleasure.
Right.
I like to take a shot at somebody and just undress him on Twitter. And then the Garmy's just the best. Usually they will just then, I'll walk away and then I'll say, you know, and I'll just get to watch the carnage from a distance as everyone just blasts somebody. Like but, the guy who said I spoiled his trailer
right,
the other day.
Right.
I was like, really, spoiled trailer? Go F yourself. And then I just sit back and watch the fireworks. But for the most part, I mean, I learned a long time ago that you are not a $20 bill in this world. Not everybody's going to like you. And there's going to be people who hate you, and there's going to be people who like you. And you just got to do what you're doing for your own reasons and get, be confident in that fact. If you feel like, yeah, I think I'm doing the best job I can, then really they can't get to you.
That's real talk right there, man.
So. I may be too sensitive for this world.
Yeah, you are.
Well, you could be better. That might help.
I mean, you do have to consider if the negative tweets are accurate, Bean.
Well, I mean, how do you determine whether something's accurate if it's just saying, someone's opinion?
I'm just saying, you of all people should go ahead and look at your tweets and take those thoughts into consideration.
All right, back to you, Rob.
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays: Richard Branson, 67 years old today. Margot Martindale, 66. Wendy Williams.
How you doing,
Wendy Williams? How does she not have a dance mix of that catchphrase?
I'm not positive.
Yeah.
53 years old today. Vin Diesel is 50 years old. Darren Malakian from System of a Down is 42 years old today. MIA is 42. Kristen Bell turns 37. Priyanka Chopra, 35 years old. And Chase Crawford turns 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
It's like lame and it's like stupid and it's dumb.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Radio.com. Radio.com.
Hey, Beth and Jerry Smith from Adult Swim's Rick and Morty. In the house, you guys. They're going to be here. Sarah Chalk and Chris Parnell will be joining us in studio in about 15 minutes or so. Less than that.
Did you have a stroke? What just happened?
Don't at me.
See? Now Bean's going to be sad and he's going to have to jump off Twitter because you're being mean.
What's happening?
First, though, are you good? Ralph is here with more Comic-Con passes. Ralph, what's going on?
I am giving away passes to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Can we buy them?
And I think these kids from Rick and Morty are going to be down there this weekend.
Fantastic.
Also promoting their show, and there's going to be a bunch of us down there, and we're going to be having a great time. And it's the hardest ticket to get in the world because they go on sale, and they sell out immediately. And a lot of people say, I've never been to Comic-Con because I've never been able to buy tickets. Well, worry no more, my friends, because five of you are going to be very, very lucky today. And if you answer the trivia question correctly, you will win a pair of passes for Comic-Con. Now, here's what I've done. I've selected some music that is associated with famous comic book superheroes. Musical themes from famous comic book superheroes. I'm going to play the music, and if you can name the superhero, you win. It's just that simple.
There you go.
These are musical heroes.
So we're gonna play.
We'll give away.
So guess them.
Right, I'll play the. Music
and go to Comic Con.
You know the heroes or the show.
It's so easy.
Okay. Thank you, Omar.
The name, the musical theme.
Just if you play.
Right, these musical heroes.
You have to win. You don't have to.
Musical heroes.
Right. Okay.
All right.
It's time to play.
It is time to play.
It's long
we have,
past
time.
Have
we have
play.
Any time left to play? But we'll try. Chris?
Yes.
Chris in Long Beach, I believe, is our first contestant. Chris?
Hey, Chris.
I'm here.
Hey there, buddy. I'm going to play for you a theme, and you need to identify the superheroes connected with it, okay?
All right.
It's just that simple. Here's your music. What do you say, Chris? You recognize that theme?
No.
No? That's from X-Men, the animated series X-Men. Sorry, buddy.
Musical heroes!
Thanks for playing.
Oh, I love that theme. It's a great theme.
All right, let's go to Joshua and Downey. Hi, Joshua.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Joshua, here's your piece of music. Name the superhero.
understand that we were going to play the entire song.
Sometimes Omar, it's hard to hear on the phone, so it gives people a chance to hear.
All right. Omar is in a long form mode right now.
Joshua.
Hi, I think that's Batman.
It is Batman.
Musical heroes.
Nicely done.
Batman 89, also used again for the animated series, that theme.
That's got to be...
Congratulations,
thank you.
You're going to Comic-Con.
Oh, that's, man, thank you.
That's got to be top... top three Danny Elfman themes, right? Batman themes?
Sure.
I would think so, yeah. Michael in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, good morning. How you doing? Good,
Michael, thanks. Name the superhero associated with this piece of music.
Barbara Streisand.
That's Michael. Actually the Incredible Hulk.
Thank you, Michael. Well
look
done.
Musical hero.
That's the sad Hulk music at the end of every episode when Bill Bixby walking down that lonely road because he had to move on because they were chasing him, man, for a crime he didn't commit. Congrats,
fantastic.
Michael.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks. I love that sad Hulk music.
I do, too.
Mark in Toluca Lake. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
We are good.
Good, Mark. I'm going to play for you a piece of music. You need to identify the superhero connected to it. Here you go.
Sing along with it,
Ellie. Yeah, you want to just give it away? Like, sing the lyrics? Mark, do you know that piece of music?
No, so I'm just going to guess that it's version of Spider-Man.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Wonder Woman.
That's the theme from the TV show Wonder Woman.
Wow.
Let's guess the age of Mark. I'm saying 99.
Don't be a dull weed.
All right, if you just joined us, we're giving away one day passes to San Diego Comic-Con at the San Diego Convention Center. We're playing Musical Heroes.
Musical Heroes!
Who's our next contestant?
Adam in Santa Ana. Hi.
Hello!
Hey, Adam. I'm going to play you some music. Need to identify the superheroes connected with it. Here you go. Any guess, Adam?
I got all of them before this.
And that helps us how?
Take a guess, Adam.
My guess, it sounds like Justice League.
Ooh, very close.
Kind of close.
Super Friends. Super Friends is what we're looking for.
Oh,
Adam. Not the same thing. I'm sorry. Justice League was a different animated show, Super Friends, of course, from the 70s. That's what we're looking for.
All right.
Sorry, Adam. Adam sounds really bummed.
Yeah.
He would have liked to have gone to Comic-Con, I think.
Let's go to Evan in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi there.
Hey, Evan. Here's your music. Name the superheroes. Yeah. That's all you should need. That's all you should need, Evan.
But there's more.
Yeah, well, you can probably turn it down, I'm guessing, right, at some point? you have that power over there?
I do, yes. Evan?
All right, I'm gonna have to go with Heroes in a Half Shell, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Absolutely correct, sir.
Musical heroes.
You're going to Comic-Con.
If my math is right, we just have one more pair. Is that possible?
I think we've given away three.
Yeah, we have two more.
I think we have two more pair.
So my math is wrong.
That's correct.
Wrong.
Let's go to David in Norwalk. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, David. Here is your theme. Name the superhero.
I mean, if you don't get this.
Superman is correct.
Musical heroes.
Yeah. You're going to go.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Congratulations. All right, we've got one more pair. Let's go to Jerry in Camarillo. Hi.
Hey, what'll do?
Hey, Jerry, we have one more pair. Let's see if you can do this. You know that superhero's theme?
That is Spider-Man.
Spider-Man is correct, sir. Well done.
Musical heroes.
That's from Spider-Man Homecoming. They used the old animated series theme song, and that movie was awesome.
You're going to Comic-Con, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
Congrats. And thanks for playing the game.
Musical heroes.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Really bad.
LANOC's alternative rock. K-R-O-Q.
That's not how you start when Sarah Chalk walks in is complaining how much you've had to see Scrubs.
I mean, I wasn't complaining.
That's not a good start.
No, none taken.
I thought it was a compliment.
Why do I have to watch your dumb show at my house, Sarah? Come on.
Never said dumb.
His adorable twin daughters made him because they have taste.
Yes,
fairly so.
So there's these.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited for a number of reasons, not the least of which is Rick and Morty return season 3, Sunday, July 30th at 11:30 p.m. on Adult Swim. But Sarah Chalk, who we have talked to numerous times on the show over the years, I don't think has ever been in studio before.
I have never.
Have you?
This is my first time, and I have to say this giant microphone, the headphones, it's so fancy.
Is it fancy?
It's so fancy.
You're so cute.
It's so fancy.
You're so cute that you don't know what fancy radio is.
And your donuts that are here for me.
Your animated TV husband will be along shortly. Apparently, Chris Parnell running a little bit late, I guess. He's on his way, though, right?
Yes, excellent.
Okay. So, where do we start? So, let's start with Comic-Con, because we were just talking about that off the air. You guys are heading down there, what, a couple days?
Yeah. We're going to Comic-Con on Friday, and my second time.
Adult Swim Panel Block, Hilton Bayfront, Indigo Ballroom. That's going to be Friday starting at 1:15, and then you're doing a bunch of signings for Rick and Morty fans on Saturday. Before we get into Comic-Con, Rick and Morty fans are among the most passionate fans on TV. You must run into that all the time.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it feels like it's gotten more so and hit sort of like a feverish pitch over the past year. I mean, even at Comic-Con last year, there were tons of Ricks and Mr. Poopy Buttholes all over the place.
Love that somebody just woke up and that doesn't watch Rick and Morty and heard you say that.
And it's has there been an unusually long time between seasons 2 and season 3? Or no?
I mean,
it feels like it.
I feel like there's always a lag time between, you know, when you record and when they come out. I don't know if it was unusually long.
We'd like you to speed it up.
I can do that. I can't personally do that, as I was not given the gift of drawing.
I'm in awe
of these animators on Rick and Morty, and the art for season 3 is crazy, bonkers, amazing. I just saw some of it, and I have I'm just in awe of people who couldn't do that.
Yeah, it is. It's insane to see how many things are going on in one frame sometimes.
I know.
It's so complicated. All right, so Comic-Con. Last year was your first time. You had an unusual experience there because you did not go alone.
No, that's right. I had a 6-week-old, and I'd never been to Comic-Con, and everyone's like, you cannot bring a 6-week-old to Comic-Con. And I was like, of course I can bring a 6-week-old to Comic-Con.
How many people told you that?
Everybody.
Everyone.
Everyone plus everyone.
And at some point, everyone plus everyone didn't make you think, maybe I should, like, just question it?
Never. No, okay. I was like, I mean, you know, what's wrong with that? So I got on the train, and I was about to leave my house, and I was going to get in the car to go to the train, and I was like, oh my God, Rick and Morty onesie. So I sprint back into my house. I grab a tiny baby onesie, one of my Rick and Morty t-shirts, a pair of scissors, and some needle and thread, which obviously I have no idea how to use. And I get in the car, and I start trying to...
You're just crafting in the car?
I'm just crafting.
No big deal.
I'm just crafting.
But you don't know how to do it, so you were trying to figure it out?
I was kind of trying to figure it out, and the thread's kind of going through the onesie. And luckily, I had my sister with me, who is kind of like Martha Stewart. And
it's a good combination in the back of a car, though, is needles and an infant.
Totally. In a fast-moving vehicle because you got in the car late because you had to go back in for the thread.
So was the baby a big hit in San Diego as the representative from the show?
She was. She was, I mean, imagine something like incredibly tiny wearing a Rick and Morty shirt. It's kind of an explosion of cuteness.
A word to people going to Comic-Con this weekend.
Don't
if they have a 6-week. I was just asking for your opinion.
Maybe don't do it.
Maybe don't do it.
Okay. Unless they are wearing a cute Rick and Morty onesie.
Okay, and then
they could be like, you know, team mask.
Sarah, Kevin.
She did great on the IMDb boat party at like, you know, 4 in the morning. That's when she like hits her stride because she's awake anyways.
She's lit.
I'm awake anyways.
So she's then got that on her resume at 6 weeks old, by the way.
Yeah, and then it just started to make sense, you know.
Kevin brought up he hopes people are waking up and hearing you make references to some of the craziness of that show. How do you explain Rick and Morty to people who know you as an actress? They run into you and they want to start chatting. Hey, what are you up to? And you mentioned Rick and Morty. They've never heard of it. How do you even begin to explain how insane that show is?
Tell them that Jemaine Clement plays a sentient
alien cloud fart and that...
You've already lost them.
There's a two-headed testicle monster. I think, you know, it's a sociopathic, alcoholic grandfather who takes his innocent little grandson on these intergalactic adventures, but then it's also grounded in this family who is dysfunctional and dealing with real issues.
Mm-hmm. Does it help to be high?
Unless you're the 6 week old baby.
Right, of course.
Then,
yes,
it definitely does. I don't know if you saw, they just recently released like the 3 minute claymation acid trip.
Oh, no, I didn't see
that.
Okay.
No, I didn't see that. Saw the first episode that airs though, and I'm very excited about that. That's just all craziness.
It's all craziness.
Do you follow the plot? Do you get it? No, I'm serious, because you spend time with the scripts and whatnot, but do you understand everything that's going on? Because it really does make the movie Inception look straightforward.
Well, I mean, you get the script, and it's such a different way to work, because usually if you do a scene with someone in live action, like, you have a pretty good idea of how it's going to turn out and what the end product is going to be like.
Right.
Whereas with this, I mean, you get a script. It's my favorite thing is to see a Rick and Morty script in my inbox, because it's such a ride to read it and imagine, like, you know, when you see that on the page and they're talking about some crazy fight sequence in space, you have no concept of what that's going to be like. And it's like you said, how, you know, there's so much going on in one frame at any given moment. So to kind of go from, you know, reading about this new crazy alien character and then what the animators come up with when they create it, it's wild.
Chris Parnell is here, by the way. He's going to be joining us right after the break. We'll continue more talking about Rick and Morty. Let me ask you one more question, sir, before we go to break, and that is, do you hear from fans who have a crush on Beth?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Beth's pretty hot.
I mean, Beth's a hottie, yeah.
She's pretty hot. She's, someone, you know, tweeted at me that she's got a great rack. Someone else tweeted to me, at Sarah Chalk has finally found the right domain for her looks, hashtag animation. I don't think that was a comment.
I don't love it.
I would take that positively.
All right.
So Rick, a little bit of therapy, but...
sure. Rick and Morty returns Sunday, July 30th at 11:30 on Adult Swim for Season 3. Sarah Chalk is here. Chris Parnell joins us, too, when we return.
A grotesque monstrosity.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Born of relentless inbreeding. Chronically flatulent.
K-Rock.
What's happening, Mixmaster Kevin over there?
And it's 8:36.
What are you doing?
I'm playing the theme.
Rick and Morty, you guys. Season 3. The show is back. All right.
Okay, that's enough, you say?
Sunday, July 30th at 11:30 on Adult Swim. Sarah Chalk is here. Chris Parnell is now here, too.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank
How are you, Jerry Smith?
I'm well. Sorry I'm so late, everybody.
Not a problem at all. I saw a piece the other day, and I'm very busy, so didn't read it, but it said, "Is," and I'm sure you saw this because he's your guy, "Is Jerry Smith the most depressing character on television?" was the name of the article. You know the one I'm talking about?
I don't know. I haven't seen that. No.
What do you make of Jerry? Is he depressing?
Hopefully he's amusing. He's definitely pathetic. he's not the most interesting guy around, that's for sure.
Do you like him?
I like playing him. I wouldn't want to hang out with him, but I like being him.
We were talking to Sarah about the difference between doing your voice parts and then what the show ends up being. It just must be do you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Just because you don't know 90% of what's going on? What it's going to look like.
No, not what, I mean, you know, you can have some idea, obviously, from the script, but usually between the time that I read it and then when it actually gets animated is a very long time, so I've forgotten it all, pretty much, and then, so it's like watching it for the, you know, learning it for the first time.
Are you surprised, Chris, that you have ended up doing so much voice work?
I'm
not to take away from your matinee idol good looks, but I mean, you're spending a lot of time off camera in your career right now.
You know, I feel very lucky. I feel very fortunate. My dad was a radio guy. He was a disc jockey in Memphis. And so he would have me do like little commercials and things when he needed a kid in a spot. So I've kind of been doing it for a while, but it wasn't until I got on SNL that I was able to actually get into it like professionally out here as an adult and all of that, you know, just because it's a hard world to break into.
Right. Yeah. I want to hear from both of you guys about Dan Harmon, because he is a tortured genius in my mind. He's a very complicated human, but man, is he so creative and so brilliant. What are your takeaways on working with Dan all these years?
He is so creative. He absolutely is, you know, a genius at this. I mean, I don't even understand where some of the ideas that him and Justin come up with.
Does it worry you?
It is worrying. Yeah. We've talked a lot about that.
Yes.
Yeah, he's pretty brilliant. And it's interesting, Justin directs a fair amount of the sessions, and then every now and then Dan will come in, and Dan has, you know, they're both fantastic, but Dan, I think, has sort of more of an actor's point of view about it, you know, and just he comes up with stuff that in directions that I would not ever think of, you know.
Oh, totally. And some actors hate line reads. I'm always like, no, if there's something in your head that you're thinking is great, just say it and I'm going to parrot it back to you.
Exactly. I'm the same way.
And Justin is, he's Rick and Morty, right?
He is.
He does them both. Do you have a lot of guest stars on Rick and Morty?
We do.
Yeah, we had awesome guest stars the first couple seasons. We had Stephen Colbert and John Oliver. And
do you get to, are you guys recording all at the same time? Do you get to see them and like be in the room and do scenes? Or is it all piecemeal?
It's all separate. Yeah, we all record
separately.
They
keep you apart for reasons?
Well, we'd rather not talk about
that. I appreciate the wall that you put up today. I know that was an extra bit of work to bring that in.
We were told it needed to be done, so we did it.
That's right.
Chris, because it's a Comic-Con week, we heard from Sarah about her experience last year, and I know you guys are both excited about going down there this week, but what do you remember from last year?
You know, I have similar memories of every year. I've been like every year for the last 7-8 years, I think. And it's just a big mass of humanity, a lot of enthusiastic fans. It's very cool to get to watch an episode of the show with a big room full of people, you know, cheering it on and hearing their live reactions to it. That's pretty amazing. I, unfortunately, am not going to be able to go this year because of my bum arm.
I was going to ask you if that scared you because you had shoulder surgery, and I can't imagine you making your way through crowds.
Yeah, it's a little scary, and it's just hard to do anything on my own. And so, yeah, I'm being
doing your hair and makeup is going to be too hard.
Right?
It's so hard. It's like, everything
he can do
takes
the right
twice
side
as
of his
long.
Face, but that's all.
I know.
When you have a doctor's appointment, Chris, and I'm embarrassed that I'm about to ask you this question, but I must. No. Do you ever run into Dr. Spaceman fans?
Because
he's my favorite TV doctor of all time.
It's a very, very specific question.
Thank you. I mean, I probably have had a doctor who's a Dr. Spaceman fan. You know, when I first started to see a psychiatrist, let's really get deep, people. when I started to see a psychiatrist many, many years ago, and this first psychiatrist, at one point, he came back after a break, vacation with his wife, and said, "Hey, I was watching you on TV on 30 Rock. I really enjoyed it." And started to go into it a little bit, and I, needless to say, I never saw him again. It was
we don't
talk about that with me.
No.
Yeah, I guess you kind of.
That's not right. That's
it would be weird if your psychiatrist was a fan. I guess.
Yeah.
You want them to just treat you like a person, right?
I mean, it's okay if he's a fan. I expect him to be.
Sure, of course.
I expect everybody to be.
Otherwise, also the relationship is over.
All right.
Right. But you've never seen anything I've done. You're fired.
5 minutes in, you don't want him talking about Rick and Morty season 3.
No, don't.
Still, because then you have to give them the spoilers.
Right.
Exactly.
Swearing to secrecy.
You guys did a bunch of press yesterday as we ramp up towards season 3. Sarah, you signed an autograph with your feet?
Yeah, I did.
Is that some weird fetish that somebody insisted that you satisfy? What? How did that happen?
Pretending you don't know. It was a weird fetish of mine.
You insisted?
I insisted. No, what had happened was we were talking about skills, and I just don't have a lot of skills, but one of them is I can write with my feet because my toes are like half the length of my foot. It's not attractive. I guess I figured it out like in class when I was younger, and I wrote a note with my feet to my friends, and so he said, "Well, will you write me something?"
That is weird.
Piece of paper. It wasn't my best work. It's been a long time, and I didn't have the right proper pen. But yes,
whoever thinks whoever has the original thought, I'm going to try and write a letter with my feet.
You have not seen my toes.
It doesn't matter.
You would have that
thought. Let's take a look.
That is a shocking... All right, she's actually going to show us her toes here.
That's like the normal length of a person's toe, but there's like a whole other section.
Allie, you judge. Is she a freak?
I mean, they're long.
They're longer than usual.
They're long, but they're not frighteningly long.
No, I was thinking like monkey hands on your feet. I'm kind of let down. I'm not going to lie.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful, Sarah.
Thank you.
Wow.
Chris, what skill do people not know that you have? What's the thing that you can do that people might be surprised to know that you can do, Chris?
Oh, geez, Louise.
Doesn't even have to be physical. I mean, can you like speak Japanese or something that would blow us away?
Sadada wa dou desu ka?
Oh, somebody
said. Whoa! Wow. Sarah's a yes on
Chris,
that too?
That's crazy that you sounded just like Sarah.
You can also throw his voice and impersonate me.
That's my skill.
That means where's the salad?
Very impressive. God, I don't know that I have any. I can juggle, I mean, but that's...
Not today, you can't.
No, I can't anymore.
Not today, yeah.
Not for a while, yeah. I don't have a lot of special skills. I'm just special.
All right. So before we run out of time, so Kevin and I have both seen Big Thumbs Up season premiere, by the way, for season 3 is so funny. What would you like to and what can you say about what else we're going to be seeing in season 3?
Awesome guest stars coming in. We've got Joel McHale and Gillian Jacobs, Susan Sarandon, and Peter Serafinowicz.
Wow, you know them all. You're impressive.
Wow. That's
a strange
thing. We have special guest star parties at my house. Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's just like a few of the recordings.
I can't imagine pitching the show to Susan Sarandon.
You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
That's sort of a strange pitch.
I think you lead with the two-headed Tuscan Master.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she's kind of hip. I think she's a hip lady.
It's not too late to get on board, by the way. Adult Swim does a great job of making things available on demand, so you can get all caught up ahead of Season 3. It is a great show, you guys. Rick and Morty, July 30th, 11:30, Adult Swim. And let me hit it again just for fans who are going down to Comic-Con. So Friday, starting at 1:15, the Adult Swim panel block is going to be at the Hilton Bayfront in the Indigo Ballroom. And then on Saturday, you guys are going to be doing signings on the green in the main stage there. So Sarah, you have a great weekend down there. Chris, you recover soon, my friend, and we'll see you both again, all right?
Thanks so much. So great to be here.
Thank you, guys.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
They're all losers. I hate these guys.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
Very excited about the showbiz beat, Ralph, so I'm glad you're in here because Jim's listening.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. Maybe he'll win tickets to Atomic Blonde. I've got passes to give away to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Atomic Blonde.
Like, Jim's not already going to be there.
Starring Charlize Theron, James McAvoy, Sophia Boutella. You know her, Allie, don't you, Sophia Boutella?
Yeah, she's got the swordy feet.
Swordy feet. From Kingsman. It's going to be at Pacific's The Grove Theater on July 25th. The movie's in theaters everywhere on the 28th. But if you're lucky enough to be a winner, call right now at 1-800-520-1067 and answer my trivia question.
Ooh, I like it.
Then
let's hear it.
Then you'll
it's not for you, Bean.
I'm going to try to call it.
You'll be able to get it if you're one of the five first callers with the correct answer. Charlize Theron stars in the film. You know... If not for a physical injury, we may not even have Charlize Theron in our lives and in our movies.
Is that right?
She was going to do something else. She had another plan for her life and career before she became a film actress.
MMA?
That changed everything. The physical injury changed the course of her life. What was her original planned profession? What was she going to do with her life? Give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. You get in with the right answer, you're one of the first five callers, you get a pair of passes.
Busy signal.
Atomic Blonde.
God damn it. Just called.
You can't win.
I thought you can't win!
Even if you got through, you can't win.
You are not a winner!
That's true.
R. Kelly, he's a good dude, right?
Nope.
Seems like a good dude. Sounds like he's fun.
Nope.
Sounds like he hangs out.
Nope.
With a lot of nice people and nice things happen.
Nope.
His lawyer are speaking out on this claim made in this BuzzFeed.com article. They are defending their client. His lawyer said, and I quote, "We can only wonder why folks would persist in defaming a great artist who loves his fans, works 24/7, and takes care of all the people in his life. He works hard to become the best person and artist he can be." Lawyers are the best.
Right?
Right? You pay them and they will say anything for anyone. They're the best. Yeah, they're like the Kellyanne Conways of the world. They just will just lie for you. It must be great to have someone just lie for you.
I have to do it for myself. That sucks.
I know.
Is Ralph, you may have heard the discussion we had earlier with the journalist who broke the story for BuzzFeed. Do you think we are at a tipping point with these allegations being, is it a Cosby situation where now there are enough women putting their names on it and their faces out there that people will start looking at R. Kelly differently and maybe he'll start to lose some of these endorsements and sponsorships and everything else?
I can't imagine what it would take that hasn't already been out there about R. Kelly.
Yeah. There was video of him peeing on his goddaughter.
Yeah.
But that people saw. What more do you need?
This isn't like Cosby where it was all under wraps and no one had any idea what was happening.
Yeah.
And he
was America's favorite TV dad. R. Kelly's been this guy in public for a long, long time.
And we just don't care? We just go, hey, that Ignition remix is so good, we're just going to let him get away with everything?
His fans don't care.
Well, I think the one time he got taken to court, he was found not guilty. And
right.
So everybody's like, well, now what? I think that would have made all the difference.
It's very distasteful.
Yeah.
Is that your hot take on it? Really? Distasteful?
That's as strong as you're going to go.
Easy with that language. That's pretty inflammatory. I might think it's also nanny nanny boo boo.
And what do I do with the R. Kelly songs on my Christmas playlist?
Now, don't.
Do I
just, don't do have I just, any. Do don't have anything those? Of his ever for any reason.
Yeah, you're part of the problem.
Some would say the biggest part of the problem.
I'm not sure. More I rise R. to
Kelly,
that level.
Some more than R. Kelly that. Himself.
It's true.
The worst, some would say. Jim said it once.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, your friend Jim?
Yeah, I believe him.
My friend Jim said that once. Ed Sheeran. I feel bad for Ed Sheeran.
Because of his looks, yeah.
Well, that. He's a ginger troll.
He is
he's adorable. A garden gnome. He's a ginger garden gnome.
He's adorable.
He should be under a bridge asking people riddles to cross. Don't get me wrong. But,
Allie, you defend him, but even in his carpool karaoke, he said, look, the good Lord enabled me to know how to play guitar because he looked at me and saw that I could never get laid otherwise.
And
even he admitted
it. Do you truly believe that that kid isn't getting it's slung at him left and right.
Yeah.
He's doing just fine.
Star.
Because of his
doesn't make
music.
Him good looking.
So don't feel bad for him. Don't.
I didn't even get to the part where I said why I feel bad yet.
All right.
I feel bad because he's very sensitive, apparently.
Oh.
Because not only is he a ginger garden gnome, he's a pussy. That's why I feel bad for him. Because he had to cancel his Twitter account because everybody's mean. Look, you're a big star and you're making all the money and you're playing all the gigs and you're getting it slung at him, some would say.
Right.
Then just you win.
Yeah, you do win.
Suck it up, Buttercup. Move on.
Tweet unkind
what you will.
To him after his Game of Thrones? Is that what caused this?
He was talking about doing this before Game of Thrones. He did it after the Game of Thrones thing premiered last night, which I guess was the tipping point. But he had been talking for some time about how negative and mean Twitter is and he can't handle it. Look at me. I cry so much, my hair rusted.
Bitch.
That's what he said. So, yeah, sad.
Oh, no.
Now he's walking by himself alone on a dusty road.
Oh, no.
A hobo pack slung over his shoulder. Just a stick and a kerchief with all his belongings wrapped up in it. Come on, Ed Sheeran.
Ugh. Man up.
It's the worst, right?
Look, it's
just having a Twitter make you a man?
Yeah,
he deleted it. Who cares?
Yes, it does.
Who does care?
Who cares?
It's proof of manhood. Tweeter. Twitter.
Please.
Twatter.
No,
I don't think that's it.
Having a Twitter doesn't make you a man, but being able to sustain to survive the arrows slung at you through Twitter makes you a man.
It doesn't. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter. If he wants to get rid of it, that's his way of just going, F these people, I don't need it. The fact that you think he should stay on and take it like a man, that's pathetic.
That is absurd.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, come on. Bean said worse.
Nah, that's true.
I thought we were having a good time there for a minute. But...
I did too.
Oh, hey, Katy Perry. You go, girl. Make him
go.
That for example one, that's worse.
She's still got a Twitter account, that's what I'm saying. You still jet lagged, Allie?
Doing so okay? Much so.
Okay. Why don't you take the rest of the week? Catch up.
I'd love to. I don't get paid, though.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Richard Branson, 67 years old today. Margot Martindale, 66. Wendy Williams.
How you doing?
How you doing, Wendy?
How you doing?
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 I wondered how long that was going to go on.
The remix.
Wendy's 53 years
old. Who could last longer? Kevin hitting the button or Ralph doing it?
I could hit the buttons all day. You know me.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you can't hit him, though, when the mics have to go on and things like that.
Well, sometimes I can't, right?
Vin Diesel's 50. Darren Malakian of System of a Down's 42 years old today. MIA celebrates 42 years on the planet. Kristen Bell's 37. Priyanka Chopra celebrates her 35th birthday, and Chase Crawford celebrates 32 years. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have a winner if you want to take that.
Yeah, let's take a winner.
All right.
Aaron.
Hello.
Hi, Aaron. Are you a big Charlize Theron fan?
Of course.
Me too. What was her original career path that she was on before she had that injury that changed the whole deal?
A beautiful, beautiful ballerina.
She was going to be a ballerina.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
She was studying with the Joffrey ballerina, as a matter of fact, in New York City when she blew out her knee. And that ended her career choice forever, and she had to settle for being an amazing movie star, producer, director. Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but we are going to send you to go see Atomic Blonde.
Thanks.
Also, congratulations to Frank and Ramon and Jason and David. They are also going to see the K-Rock advanced screening of Atomic Blonde.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday. So the wheel obey animal voices.
Yay!
Mugs from the Mayweather-McGregor press conference. We've got your tickets for Comic-Con, and we're going to talk to Mama Mugs. Is that too much Mugs? Mama Mugs about the Dodgers.
A lot of Mugs family.
Right? I'm trying to figure out. The Dodgers are so great right now. They're firing on all cylinders. They've got the best record in baseball. I'm trying to figure out how she's going to poop on that. Like,
the bottom's going to fall out.
She will figure out a way.
It's all fool's gold.
Oh, and one last thing.
Baby, you're a fool.
Come on. Oh, hey, Katy Perry. Come
on, you go, girl. Make him go.
It smells funny in here.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
LA and OC's alternative rock. K-R-O-Q.
K-Rock. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.